Patmos times test the direction of our hearts. There's no point trying to dodge them just because they're hard. Paul knew he had to go to Jerusalem, even though the Spirit was warning him that there would be great hardships ahead. And so he refused to yield to the pleas of his friends not to go. It's not only the major things like bereavement that can cause a sense of loss and disorientation. I've written in the Veil of Tears sections on things such as retirement and redundancy and broken relationships and many, many other things like it. Goes without saying that the better we handle the smaller changes in life now, the more easily we'll cope with more serious ones later. None of us enjoys the taste of bile that grief leaves in our heart. But you might find it helpful, either for yourself or for someone you're coming alongside, to encourage them to allocate a period of time, every so often as they need, to deliberately let out their distress and grief. Because doing this can help to prevent us being overwhelmed at other, less appropriate times. It's a great deal better than trying to pretend that everything is fine and burying the real hurt, which is sure to come out again some other way. And I've looked at that in Veil of Tears in the section I've called When Grief Takes Convoluted Terms. There are times when we have to set our faces like flint, but always humility helps. An example that I've often shared concerns F.B. Meyer, who was one of the most popular conference speakers of his time. The day came when his followers flocked to listen to a new young preacher, Campbell Morgan. And any minister feels the loss of being superseded, but instead of succumbing to disappointment or even resentment, Meyer resolved to spend as much of his spare time as he could praying for the success of the other man's ministry. I can think of no finer response to changing roles and changing situations than that. As Graham Cook put it, when God puts his finger on a part of our life that's not working properly, he's joyfully pointing at the site of our next miracle. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Try not to make major decisions at times when major changes have knocked you off balance. When the axis of your life has shifted, it can be very easy to make rash choices that you'll regret when balance has been restored again. Challenge disappointment before it degenerates into full-blown discouragement. Root it out in the name of Jesus before bitterness and self-pity come marching in, let alone before you fall into the pits of despair and cynicism. Don't doubt in the darkness what you heard in the light. But if you're going through changes that are causing you pain, the gap between promise and fulfillment can seem very large, and we need people who will help us make it through. Shakespeare wrote in Titus Andronicus, "Sorrow concealed, like an oven stopped, burns the heart to cinders." He warned in Hamlet, "You do surely bar the door upon your own liberty if you deny your griefs to your friend." Let me ask you, who are you sharing these big issues with? If you've been the victim of a serious loss or been violated, you may well have been plunged into such profound trauma that it's affected your trust and willingness to share in this way, especially if certain people have prayed well-meant prayers which somehow don't seem to touch the shock of trauma at all. It would be helpful to make a distinction here, that whilst grief is a process that people need to go through, trauma is an imposition on the spirit that needs to be prayed right off. And this is where we need words of faith and authority. And if that means repeating certain prayers over and over again, then this is the one time when we're in no danger of heaping up empty words. No, what we're doing is allowing God's reassurance to reach right down as deep as it needs to in order to touch our shaken hearts. And there's nothing that people who are going through the mill need more in the isolation of their Patmos experience than the reassurance that they're not alone. If people have been out of circulation through ill health or unemployment or child rearing, it's normal for them to wonder whether they'll be able to cope, and they benefit enormously by someone who believes in them and who's prepared to walk side by side with them during the transition. Don't let the fear of not having the right words stop you from getting in touch with these people, even if the extreme pressure that they're under is making them brusque and unpredictable. Check with them whether they want to be on their own or whether they really value your companionship enormously. But don't become resentful if they're unable to give themselves to you in the way that perhaps you're used to. Make the adjustments and the allowances. Let your strengths cover for their weakness at that time. And then let them come close when it's you who are in need of such companionship. Be proactive about getting in touch and finding ways to help. Relate to them as people rather than as problems. They're not just cancer sufferers or unemployed or someone who's been jilted in love or a challenge to sort out. They're people to respect and to respond to. And may they feel, in our presence, able to share what's really troubling them. And may we not try to brandish solutions for situations that simply can't be solved overnight, but simply bear the precious gift of the Lord's presence just by being there for them.
Those that